The film has a terrific cast, including our next guest, Alan Arkin, who plays a salesman named George. Ed Harris plays Dave, another real estate salesman. And the two of them are so afraid of getting fired that they begin considering desperate measures. Dave hatches a plan to steal the so-called Glengarry leads, the top-secret list of prospects who are the most likely customers to fall for a Florida real estate deal the company is pushing. The leads are locked up in the boss's office, and Dave wants George, played by Arkin, to break in and get them.
Dave.
Yes?
You want me to break into the office tonight and steal the leads?
Yes. Oh, yes, George.
What does that mean?
Listen to this. I have an alibi. I'm going to the Como Inn. Why? Why? The place gets robbed, they're going to come looking for me. Why? Because I probably did it. Now, let me ask you this. Are you going to turn me in?
What if you don't get caught?
They come to you, you're going to turn me in?
Why would they come to me?
They're going to come to everybody.
Why would I do it?
You wouldn't, George. That's why I'm talking to you now. They come to you, you're going to turn me in?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
George, when they come to me, if I have to go in there, and if I get caught, they come to me.
You don't have to go in.
I have to go in, see? That's something I have to do.
Why?
Why? You gonna give me $7,500?
75? I thought we were splitting $5,000.
I lied, all right? Your end's 25. My end's my own concern. Now, stick with me here, George. They come to me. I'm caught. They're gonna ask me who were accomplices.
Me.
Absolutely.
It's ridiculous.
Well, to the lawyer, an accessory before the fact.
I didn't ask to be.
Well, it's tough luck, George, because you are.
Why? Because you just told me about it?
That's right.
Why are you doing this to me, Dave? Why are you talking this way to me? I don't understand. Why are you doing this at all?
None of your business, pal. Just interrupt. You tell me. You're out. You take the consequences.
I do?
That's right.
And why is that?
Because you listened.
Alan Arkin and Ed Harris in a scene from Glengarry Glen Ross. Arkin's other roles include Yossarian in the film version of Catch-22 and the menacing killer in Wait Until Dark. When Terry spoke with Arkin in 1989, she asked him about his first feature film, The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming.
I want to play a short clip from the movie, and this is a scene from early on after the Russians have landed in New England, and you've knocked on the door of a family. Carl Reiner's the husband, Eva Marie Saint is the wife, and you're taking them at gunpoint into their home and hoping that they'll help you find a boat.
All the keeping calm, please. Yes. I repeat, no harm is coming. Olna, please, being seated.
It's all right, honey. Just take it easy now, Pete boy. Don't be scared. There's no need to be scared.
I'm not scared.
Good. Good boy. Now, to answer some few questions very quickly, please, so that there is no necessity whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
So that there is no necessity whatsoever why everybody in such a nice American family should get shot to little pieces. You understand? Yes. Good. Now, what else people are in this house?
So that's your first feature role. Right. What stage were you in acting then? How did you prepare for that role?
How did I prepare? It was mostly in learning how to speak Russian and thinking a lot about what I wanted to do. I didn't do any research because I didn't know how I could do any research. I wanted to be very comfortable. It was important to be comfortable. It was my first feature, and I knew I was going to be panic-stricken because it's something I'd wanted to do for 25 years, and it was just too big a hunk of my life to relax about.
So you actually studied Russian for the part?
Yeah, for months. I studied Russian with an old woman in New York. Nobody had told me what to do or how to do it. I was left to my own devices, so I worked for months with this woman trying to get the sound. And I was pretty good at languages, but there were sounds in Russian I could not hear. And then finally, after several months, I began to hear the sounds and I got the lines down in Russian. I went on the set and I said my first line in rehearsals proudly, and there were a lot of real Russians on the set. Nobody understood a word I was saying. And it turned out I was speaking a Russian that no one had spoken for about 50 years. It was totally archaic, and I had to, on the set, start over again from the very beginning, which was very unnerving.
So how much of the Russian do you remember?
I can still say my lines. You can wake me up in the middle of the night, and I can do my lines verbatim, and I can't do it with any other film.
But can you talk to a Russian?
Yeah, I can say my lines to him from the film.
I'm sure that's a real help.
Yeah.
Alan Arkin speaking with Terry Gross in 1989, More after this break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to Terry's interview with actor Alan Arkin.
I have read about you that in the late 60s or early 70s that you started yoga and also found someone who was something of a guru figure for you.
Mm-hmm.
What brought about that change?
What brought about the change was 7 years of analysis in which I worked very hard and which I feel like I really needed. I was very unhappy. And I came to a point where I was coming to the end of my analysis by both my doctor's recognition and my own, and feeling like I'd passed the course, and having him say akin to, I never promised you a rose garden. And I found myself getting furious at that idea, because I saw that there were people that had rose gardens, and I wanted one. And if analysis wasn't going to do it for me, particularly since I had worked very, very hard at it, and had accomplished a lot of what my doctor felt was to be accomplished from it, I felt like I had to look elsewhere. And I started working with somebody who turned out, who I knew immediately was the best person I had ever met. He was the wisest and kindest person I'd ever met. And initially, I didn't know he was a yogi. He was my stand-in on a film, on Poppy. And
he was playing an extra, so he was playing a stand-in.
He was my stand-in, which is not a terribly exalted job, as mm-hmm. everybody knows. And after about 3.5 weeks, I could sense very clearly that he was the center of the entire film. It's not as if he was loud or pushy or taking over anything, but he just radiated something that people gravitated towards. Like one person would be telling him their problems, another person would be asking him for a massage. And I got really quietly enraged by that. And it was, again, nothing that he was attempting to do. He wasn't attempting to run the show in any way. It was very quiet. And if you didn't really look for this, you wouldn't have even noticed it. And it annoyed me. So I said, here I am. I have everything. I'm the star. I got 10 times as much money as he's got. I got more attention. And He's the center of this thing. It's not right. So I tried to find out who and what he was, and he finally revealed the fact that he was a guru. Has got a terribly convoluted connotations this day. We've twisted around and almost destroyed the meaning of that word. Everybody who knows something is now called a guru, which is not what the word means by any stretch of the imagination. It means slayer of darkness, which is ultimately what analysis tries to do and doesn't do. It knocks off a piece of it, but it doesn't get the whole thing. And a great spiritual teacher knocks off your darkness, which is the thing that is keeping you from functioning fully and wholly and completely and lovingly.
Can I relate this back to acting and ask you if it's changed the way you act or changed how much you act or the kinds of roles you take?
Yeah, to a degree. It depends on how much money I've got in the bank, in part.
I mean, sure.
If I'm feeling pretty flush, then I feel more comfortable in turning down things that I don't want to do. But if I'm behind a payment on the house, then I got to be a little bit more generous in my assessment of something. But yeah, I don't want to play horrible people anymore. I don't want to. It's no fun. There was a time when I had so little sense of myself that getting out of my skin and being anybody else was a sigh of relief. But I kind of like myself now a lot of the times, and I don't see any real necessity or value in playing people that I find abhorrent anymore. That's number one. And number two, I like to think, if I possibly can be in situations like it, I want my work to be connected with things that somehow serve people in some way.
Alan Arkin, speaking with Terry Gross in 1989. He appears in the 1992 film Glengarry Glen Ross, which has just been released on DVD.